Welcome to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm News Director Dan Spaulding, and our guest this week is Dr. Amy Corris, Superintendent of Witco Community Schools. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just dive right into this. You are a Pearson native. You went through the Witco schools, and now suddenly you are back at Witco running the show. Can you give us an idea of how your career has evolved?
Absolutely. So I started when I graduated from college back in the 90s. I started in the first grade classroom, and I loved that. It was great, but I just felt like I needed to do something more for students. And so that led me into special ed. I taught special ed for 14 years. And a lot of the issues I struggled with were things I wanted to change at a higher level. So my last gig, if you will, was in Columbia City. I was a special ed teacher who worked with middle school students who had behavior and emotional issues. So I thought, okay, if I can handle this classroom, I think I can handle administration. So then I went and got my admin license through Ball State University, and then really never stopped. I just felt the calling to be able to change something for the better at a bigger level. So that led me into then I went to become principal at Manchester Elementary, and I truly love that job. Working with the building was preschool to third grade. It was so great. The staff is great. So I did that, and then I got recruited over to become the assistant superintendent for East Noble School Corporation. And I, again, thought I would stay there. I was happy. But then the job opened up as superintendent at Witco. And at first I thought, no, I'm really happy. I have an easy gig here. But I just kept thinking about it. And I sat on that for almost a month before I even applied. So I then thought, okay, I'm all in. I'm going to do it. And in that meantime, I had finished my dissertation. So the next step was naturally to become a superintendent. It just happened a little bit sooner than I thought it would.
And you also previously worked in Chicago and Fort Wayne as a teacher, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've returned home to a community that you readily admit is, and happily, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
How has that contrast been?
The main things are still there, doing what's best for kids and really trying to create the best system that we can for our students. However, the resources are vastly different than, say, in Chicago than here. Their taxing system is so much higher, I would say times 10. So the funding is completely different. So, but the parents are still great. You just need to make sure that your students are learning, that you provide opportunities at both areas, and you just handle them differently. So the district I left, many of the moms were stay-at-home moms. They were all professionals, pretty wealthy, if you will. And then you come here, and it's the funding source for education is vastly different. We have parents that work. We have kids who start preschool at a younger age because they do need daycare services. So the needs are different, but at the end of the day, as long as you provide a quality education, that's all that matters.
And I believe once you arrived, you wanted to do two things. You wanted to talk to a lot of the staff,
mm-hmm.
and maybe consider some new programs.
I did. So when I first got hired on in January of 25, my goal was to talk to all staff members at Witco Community, and we have 240. And so I sat down for 15 minutes each and spoke with about 80% of them. And that's when I started to notice some trends, some issues, some red flags, things that I needed to jump on right away. And so that's what I did, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you instituted a program or two. Tell us about that.
We did. So we've expanded a lot. So we have at the Career Academy, we have expanded into, we've added vet tech through our the CTE programs. We have completely changed much of the curriculum, especially at the elementary level. we have gone through and just audited basically every program and tried to figure out, is it benefiting students? And if not, what can we do that will benefit students, trying to make our dollars stretch as far as they can?
And going back to your previous comments about having talks with the staff, how did that go when you implemented a few changes? Was it embraced, or did you face a little friction?
Both. Those that are begging for change send you emails and stop you in the hall and say, thank you for changing that. It's been bothering us for a long time. No one has addressed it. But then those that don't like change, they do struggle. It takes a longer to get on the bus and figure out this is the way we're going to do things. But I would say the majority have been very supportive, yes.
So personally, what's been the biggest adjustment maybe in your transition to becoming a superintendent in your hometown?
Mm-hmm. The nicest thing is when I go to an event, I know someone. I don't go to an event anymore and I'm the only one and I sit there by myself. Like, I run into people who have been going to basketball games since I was in middle school, and I saw them when I went to basketball games. So it's nice to just sit down. I can sit anywhere, and I'm going to know, and I can talk to people in the community. And because my family still lives in Pearston, many of my family attend the events that I attend. And sometimes they'll show up, and I don't even know they're going to be there. And I was like, oh, hey, Mom, I didn't know you were coming tonight. So it's refreshing to know that I'm welcome regardless of what event I'm attending.
And that had to feel especially good.
It is great, yes, yes.
Several issues we obviously want to talk about. Enrollment,
mm-hmm.
That's a challenge for rural schools right now. How is WITCO doing?
So enrollment is a challenge across the district and across the state in general. So yes, we have dropped enrollment over the last 10 years. Specifically, we've dropped 25%. And so when you think, oh my gosh, that's so much, well, the other districts have dropped that much as well. We've lost students to homeschool. We've lost students to digital online learning. However, in the last, I would say, year, we have started to see many of those students start to come back.
You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding. We're talking with WITCO Superintendent Dr. Amy Corris. Amy, if we could, we've been talking about enrollment, and small rural schools are struggling. WITCO, though, your enrollment has picked up a little. How is the school district going right now?
So financially, we are very financially stable, if you will. We have made cuts across just to try to trim the excess, which I think every district is doing. We are also trying to cut as SB1 will be affecting us this year. But at the end of the day, you really need to be financially responsible with taxpayer money. So we're always looking to be the most efficient we can be. But when people think WITCO is on the brink of destruction, that is absolutely not true.
And you've done some things to benefit teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Raises?
Yeah, so we gave 8% raises last year, and they will get a raise this year, and then we will negotiate for the next year. We also instituted an attendance stipend. So if you miss less than two days throughout the year, we give you an $800. So that was pretty popular. We also offer 50% off in our child care facility for any staff member. So that's also very well received, especially by our younger staff who don't make as much as the veterans who have been around for 30 years.
And child care, your child care program is pretty strong?
Yes. Currently, we're almost full. We are talking about adding another classroom at Pearston Elementary for our 4- and 5-year-olds because that class is full out at the WITCO Career Academy. Our infant classroom is currently full, but we're looking for next year ways that we can grow and meet the needs of Pearston, specifically because that's where we've heard from community members that we need more preschool seats.
And I believe you said about 80% of all the students,
mm-hmm.
in this program are from the community. That tells you it's a needed program, obviously.
Correct.
And that's a big draw.
The nice thing about the WITCO Academy is that we're right off of 30. So if you're driving from, say, Fort Wayne or Columbia City to Warsaw to work, it's easy to just shoot into Larwell, drop your child off and then go off to work. So
it's not all about money, but is it a moneymaker for the school district?
We break even. Yeah.
And provide a good service.
Yes.
Okay. We were talking about enrollment, and homeschooling is taking away more students than, say, families that choose to go to other school districts. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We also lose students to online digital learning. The struggle with that in the state of Indiana is there's no accountability. So if a student leaves and goes down that route, there's no one following up to ensuring that they're working and completing the tasks. So
long term, I know a lot of kids that I've met have been homeschooled. They're smart, they're sharp, they're on top of their game. But do you worry that homeschooling falls short in some regards?
I worry about students socially. When they do come back, many of them are not academically where they should be, and we do our best to catch them up. But I think the biggest struggle is the social. And we see that a lot, too, with technology. Kids are on phones, iPads. They just lack that ability to socialize or learn how to play. One of the programs we've just added at South Whitley and Pearson Elementary is it's a program really that lets kids play. And so we got a grant from United Way for each building, and we are creating a room that's basically all toys and allows the children to come in, and it teaches them things on how to take turns, how to lose if you're playing a game. That's a big one. How to wait your turn for the next toy that you want. And it's also creative, so they're learning and creating at the same time. So we are starting that as well.
Speaking of social skills, you told me previously that you don't have a lot of problems with bullying.
I like to think we don't, but people are not reporting it if we do have a problem. And because we are a small district and small schools, we can jump on top of it quickly. Each building has a mental health therapist or a guidance counselor. So that is the first that's the first person that handles it generally. And then the principals get involved. But we try to get on top of it as fast as we can.
Okay. We were talking a few minutes ago about potential budget cuts under the SB1 still looming. I think state lawmakers are still trying to figure out how this is going to work out. How tough has it been for WITCO?
So for SB1, we will be losing about $240,000. And when you think of big budgets, you think of, you know, Warsaw Community. It's exorbitant. So for us, it's smaller, but we also have a smaller budget. So we're just trying to really be careful on things like we put off purchasing a new bus. So we're going to drive an older bus, which requires more regulations. And trying to figure out what are those little tweaks we can make that will not affect student learning.
And so you've kind of stemmed the loss of students through enrollment, and you're doing things every day to promote the school?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So we started a series called WITCO 101, and it was just an opportunity for me to meet the community and to kind of tell our story, because I believe if you don't tell your story, someone else is going to. So it's a 5-part series, and it covers things such as safety, curriculum and learning, finance, the track of what does it look like if a student comes from preschool all the way to graduation, what does their learning look like? And then the last one focuses on where will WITCO be in 3, 5, maybe 10 years down the road? What are our long-term projects that we want? And so we are doing that this spring.
So what are your long-term projects?
So we would like to revamp our football area and create a more family-friendly area. It's very outdated. It just needs a facelift, honestly. And then our locker rooms at the high school need some TLC, so we want to put some money into those and kind of bring them up to date. And we have more going on than back when that was built, more teams coming in, so we really need the space as well.
You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding, and our guest this week is Dr. Amy Corris, superintendent of WITCO Schools. And we're moving on to maybe one of the more exciting aspects of WITCO, which is the Career Technical Education and the Academy. How big of a project is this for WCCO?
This is WCCO's flagship, I would have to say. I don't want to say it saved the district, but it definitely brought us into the running as one of the best CTE centers in northern Indiana. We get districts from all over the state coming to visit our school, and not only do they come visit it because it's amazing, but we have such great partnerships with corporations in our area, and just having that community connection is really important. People need to know what kids are doing, and in return, we also need to hear from manufacturers and community members on what they need. What do you need from a WCCO graduate? It's not just the soft skills anymore. It's so technical that we try to provide something that when a student graduates, they can jump into the workplace, if that's what they're choosing, and be ready to go. And so we offer 11 pathways at the Academy, and they range from medical and technical. We have agriculture, welding, manufacturing, culinary arts, education, criminal justice. I mean, the list is great. And so most of our students go through the Academy and earn a pathway. And now to graduate in the state of Indiana, one of the ways you can graduate is to go through a pathway and complete that.
Some pathways didn't exist when I was in school. I'm envious.
Me too.
But how is this emphasis on pathways changed education?
It's changed because instead of just taking, like you and I, we just took random classes, and you either went to college or you just went off to work or maybe to the military. So now students have the opportunity to blend it. So even if you come to the Academy and you get a pathway, you can also go on to a four-year university. Our students earn dual credit at the Academy. So if I want to get a pathway in, say, the medical technical field, I can go on to do anything in the medical field. Or I have enough space in my schedule. Say I'm interested in construction trades. There's enough room in my schedule that I can still take the higher level science classes, and I will have enough classes to graduate with a CTE pathway certificate along with the ability to go on to a college.
As I recall, some of the bigger pathways include manufacturing and welding, mm-hmm. but construction stands out, correct?
Construction trades is booming. We are looking to increase that program next year. It's full every semester.
What makes it so popular?
That's a good question. The teacher's amazing, and I would say it's something that kids have figured out. You know what? Even if I go on to be a dentist, I still need to do house projects. I wish I had that. Like, I need to be able to do that too.
And construction trades, and I believe right now students are building a tiny house.
We are. It's adorable. So the teacher came to me last year, and in the past what we have done is purchase a house to flip, and then we sell it and then do it again the following year. Well, we were running out of inventory that's close to the Academy because you can't be driving 30 minutes and then work and move on. So I said, well, why don't you just build a tiny house, and you have all that right there.
This was your idea?
Yes, but he came to me with three plans and said, which one do you want? And I said, I like this one, and I pointed, and so that is the one that they're building.
And you're also looking at maybe expanding into another pathway next year?
Yep, so we are adding the vet tech. Some of the feedback that we received from students, they were interested in vet tech. So we've eliminated some areas, but then added this, and it hopefully will go very well.
And you work with two other school districts. How has this changed WCCO?
It's nice because it instead of one school, one academy, now we have three menus to choose from. And so Smith Green, which is Cherubusco, Columbia City, and WCCO all have mostly different pathways. And so we don't need to replicate 20 that Columbia City has. If we have a student who's interested in something like fire, they can go to Columbia City and get the fire training that we don't offer. And we trade students back and forth.
And this is this arrangement with the state is, I wouldn't say profitable, but it state funding has a big mm-hmm. role.
Yes, it definitely brings in a lot of money for the academy. It covers the cost of all the teachers that we hire through the academy, as well as supplies, programming, anything that they would need.
So it allows you essentially to keep growing.
Yes, yes,
okay.
It does.
And just a few other issues, bullying. We talked about that briefly. Another topic is cell phones. New restrictions, but like Warsaw Community Schools, you guys have already kind of clamped down.
Yep.
What lies ahead? You have to come up with some rules or?
So currently the new law says the phone has to be inaccessible, and they put inaccessible in quotes. So they haven't explained what that's going to look like for schools. So does that mean that the phone has to be in the car, or can we just keep it in the backpack?
So you have to make a decision by July 1st. How is that shaping up?
So our students already have to have their phones put away and in their backpack or back pocket during class. So we just have to figure out, do we expand that and tell them it has to stay in their car or in their locker or at home? But we're just waiting on guidance from the Department of Education.
And what would you prefer?
I'm okay with them being in the backpack. We really don't have a big cell phone problem.
Really?
Mm-mm.
And so, last few seconds, artificial intelligence, is that mm-hmm. a good thing or a bad thing?
I love it. I think it's great. We need to embrace it and teach kids how to use it.
Don't you worry? There are some worrisome aspects.
No, I don't worry about it.
Not at all.
Not really.
You are too confident. And confidence is a good thing, right?
I think so.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. You've been listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, email me at news@newsnowwarsaw.com. I'm Dan Spaulding. Have a good weekend.